Today's scripture reading is Psalm 51, the first 12 verses. The translation printed in your order of service comes from Nan Merrill, Psalms for Praying. I'm going to invite us to read this responsively together as a prayer. So I'm going to read the light print, and I invite you to read the bold. Let us let this word of God steep its way into our souls. Have mercy on me, O gracious one, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant kindness. Forgive me where my thoughts and deeds have hurt others. Lead me in paths of justice. Guide my steps on paths of peace. Teach me that I may know my weaknesses, the shortcomings that bind me, the unloving ways that separate me, that keep me from recognizing your life in me. For I keep company with fear and dwell in the house of ignorance, yet I was brought forth in love, and love is my birthright. You have placed your truth in the inner being. Therefore, teach me the wisdom of the heart. Forgive all that binds me in fear, that I might radiate love. Cleanse me, that your light might shine in me. Fill me with gladness. Help me to transform weakness into strength. Look not on my past mistakes, but on the aspirations of my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O gracious one. Put a new and right spirit within me. Enfold me in the arms of love and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Restore in me the joy of your saving grace and encourage me with a new spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for you are our shalom. Amen. So today's passage from the book of Psalms speaks to us of a God of compassion and generosity, reminds us of God's abundant kindness and justice and peace, reminds us that we were brought forth in love and have love as our birthright. That is my favorite line, favorite. We read it together as a prayer just moments ago. Perhaps the words also resonated for you as an affirmation of who you understand God to be and whom God understands you to be. As believers in God, in a holy other, whatever name or image you have for the divine, what we believe about God directly impacts what we believe about ourselves and about one another. You see, as I said to the kids, if I see God as a great judge, then two things likely happen. I begin to live my life seeking to satisfy this set of external demands that God or someone else may place on me, and it makes it okay for me to judge you as well. Or if I see God first and foremost as the great provider of my needs, then I risk God becoming little more than maybe a great vending machine supplying all my needs. And I risk seeing you as put here to meet my needs as well. What we believe about God directly impacts what we believe about ourselves and about one another. As followers of Christ, through Jesus' life and witness, by his ministry and example, we understand life and healing and truth and peace. Through Jesus' birth, as told to us in the scriptures, we understand that God cares about this world, about each of us, and about the systems and structures in which we live. We understand about justice and freedom of choice, about compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness. And through Jesus' living, we come to understand that it really doesn't take an awful lot to make a difference in the world. That's kind of how I sum up why I think we're here in many ways. We're here to make a difference. We're here to offer God's healing and hope, not just for ourselves, but for one another. Underneath it all, I believe that is our soul's deep yearning, to bring healing and hope. And so in all the choices in our lives, whether they are choices to go or choices to stay, choices to do a certain job or another one, where you spend your time, with all of the choices of our lives, I am convinced that which choice I pick rarely matters in the end. Truly. I mean, I don't believe it matters whether I am a minister or a teacher, whether I wait tables or work at a local store. I don't really think that's as important as how I am when I do it. Who I am inside, whether the actions I undertake are actions that bring healing and wholeness, or whether they're actions that bring divisiveness and harm. So the more we understand what we believe, the more we understand what defines our faith, the greater difference we are likely to make, the more healing we are likely to offer, because those beliefs that we are able to name are the ones that we will seek to live out in what we do and in what we say. So the question before us, what is it you believe? What has Jesus' birth and life and ministry taught you about living, taught you about God? What is it you believe? So I'm going to pause and invite you to reflect on that. I hope in that time you were able to name at least one thing. For you see, knowing what you believe, the more important question then becomes, how is that seen in your living? How is that making a difference for others? Last weekend, I participated in a conference called Evolving Faith. Doing so brought me great joy and great heartache. There were more than 2,500 people in attendance in person and countless thousands live streaming via distance. And a significant majority, perhaps most of them, had been harmed by the church. Harmed by what has become the stereotypical Christian theology portrayed in our society these past decades. Harmed by doctrine and dogma that sets religion against humanity and judgment against inclusion. harmed, but not just by the church, but also by people like me who may be hesitant to speak up and hesitant to speak out, especially when it seems like I may be standing alone when I do. This past weekend, I glimpsed the enormity of the damage inflicted on people's lives, and my heart aches. And so I vow that I will risk more, even when it feels like I am alone, especially when it feels like I am alone, for people's lives depend upon it. And God calls me to do no less. So today I share with you five elements that are essential to my faith. Some of what I will say over and over again whenever I have the chance. These are the beliefs which I pray shape my living with you and with others. Beliefs which form a foundation and a structure to my days. First, I believe that God loves you and me and all persons unconditionally. Period. Stop. No exceptions. I am loved by God for who I am in this moment, for who I am becoming, for who I could be. You are loved by God for who you are in this moment, for who you are becoming, for who you could be. And I believe that God desires that I love you that same way. And seeking to do so is my greatest joy and my greatest challenge as well. Number two. I believe that God has created within each and every person God's spirit of innocence, that spirit that fills us with wonder and shapes us to dream. In our essence, in the very core of who we are, we, you, already are love and grace and wholeness. You already are the very image of God. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, I pray that you hear this. In the very core of who you are, you are love, and you are grace, and you are the image of God. No matter what anyone else or your inner voice says. So when you and I reveal love and grace, when our actions flow from this inner essence, we are revealing God, offering God to others, helping them see what it is that we as Christians seek to give our very lives for. You know, all too often we allow certain elements of ourselves to lift up and become dominant, right? The things we've done or failed to do that we think were bad or wrong in hindsight. It may be our marital status or our sexuality is some kind of definer for us. It may be triumphs or tragedies, and while these may matter, while they may help describe us, not a single one of them is sufficient to name who we are. Not a one. What is definitive, what is most important, is that you are a child of God. You are born in love, and love is your birthright. My favorite passage. You are God's own child, worthy of love and respect, and God is using you to care for the world. You. So I'd like you to take a risk and do something with me. I would like you, as I pause a moment, to look to the people around you, and if that means you might have to get up and move a little bit, please feel free. I would like you, if you are comfortable doing so, to look them in the eye. We don't do that well. We look at people, but we don't always see them. I would like you, as comfortable as you may be, to look one another in the eye and say, God is using you to care for God's world. God is using you to care for God's world. God is using you to care for God's world.
God is using you to care for God's world.
In the dailiness of our lives, it's all too easy to remember failed jobs or failed marriages, the way in which we've disappointed others weighs on us, the mistakes that we've made. And in those deep moments, sometimes you feel like you don't deserve love or respect. Yet the scriptures proclaim for us that you are a child born of God, and nothing, not one thing, changes that. In your love and in who you love, you are a child born of God. In your gender identity and gender expression, you are a child born of God. In your blackness and your brownness, and even in your privilege-stripped whiteness, you are a child born of God. The scriptures proclaim it so. And so I believe when you touch that essential core of God within, you bring healing through whatever you do. Number three, I believe that God is forgiving and compassionate, for I know that I have done things in my life that I'm not proud of, and I know that God loves me still. And so even in our darkest hour, I know that we can take a breath and start over again. And God desires, when we and where we are able, that we offer that to one another, too. Number four, I believe that Jesus showed us God's shalom, and showed us that shalom cannot be separated from equity and justice, and that God's justice always centers the marginalized in our midst. And last, at least on this list, I believe in the power of love, of God's love, and that in the end it will heal us all. That God's long arc of love will bend the world to shalom. In closing, I invite you to open yourself to God's prayer with me, if you will. So I invite you to take a deep breath. If your feet aren't flat on the ground, I invite you to do so you can feel the earth, or at least the concrete and tile, beneath your feet. Take a minute and shake out whatever stress or tension may be in your body. And take a deep breath. If you feel safe and able to do so, let your eyes close. For just a moment, do just this one thing. Let God love you. Let God love you. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to reject it. Just let God's love in. Feel it sitting there at the center of your heart. Imagine it like a soft golden light, glowing with love. Connect to that place within you that knows this is home. This is home. May you come to know and to trust the love God has for you. Amen.